This is another damn podcast about digital asset management. I'm Henrik de Gior. Today I'm speaking with Abby DeMilo. Abby, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing today?
Good. Abby, how are you involved with digital asset management?
At the McGraw-Hill Companies, we view digital asset management as one component of what we call the digital supply chain. So we're not looking at digital asset management purely as an archival tool or as a brand management tool. We're looking at it as really a component of our content delivery ecosystem, so to speak. So it's very much integrated in with our content management systems, our delivery platforms, our enrichment tools, so on and so forth. So it is a key component, but we look at it as a component of that whole chain.
Great. And just to reiterate, why does an information and media organization use a DAM?
We use it to help deliver content. So, digital asset management through the years has grown and matured to, and the technology has matured as well, to really offer more than just the storage and delivery out of rich media assets. Still does that very, very well. I highly recommend any company that has branding, marketing assets, rich media assets, or any content, object-related content, to really invest in a repository, invest in a digital asset management, because that is the best way to keep track of your master assets. But B2B businesses are using it really in terms of delivering out and reusing those components. So you can supply a B2B site and web channel delivery of content without a digital asset management. Mm-hmm. It is completely possible to do that, but you'll find that you'll be wasting a lot of infrastructure. Your technology footprint will be greater because you will not have control of your parent and child assets. Mm-hmm. So the value to B2B businesses is to really keep, you've heard of master data management. Mm-hmm. There's not an acronym for this, but it's really keeping track of your master rich media assets and delivering versions of those assets. So rather than keeping the same asset in 100 different places, you keep it one place and you deliver out renderings of that same asset. And it saves a lot of money. It saves in operations. It saves in human processes, business processes. So that's why B2B businesses are very interested still in this technology.
Makes a lot of sense.
It sure does.
So what advice would you like to give to DAM professionals or people aspiring to become DAM professionals?
For people aspiring to become DAM professionals, and you can go to school in library sciences, you can go to school and get your degrees in taxonomies and all of these great things today. Don't think of it as a siloed discipline. You can't really today think of digital asset management without thinking of the related fields and the related technologies that help deliver content, including enrichment, which we haven't really touched on, but enrichment, in other words, creating metadata structure and taxonomy structures that deliver that content and make it reusable in a number of different systems, delivery platforms, and the ability to transform those assets into a number of different channels. So be able to, if you're holding video assets in a digital asset, because digital asset management today, you can hold video assets and flash assets. Are you planning on transcoding those assets internally and delivering them out? Or are you planning on really just holding the end product in your repository? Those are the questions, no matter where you work. Those are the types of questions that will be asked of you. So if you are aspiring to become a digital asset management professional, don't think of it truly as an archival tool. Think of it as really part of that whole ecosystem. And you really have to have an understanding, at least at a high level, how those other systems play into this.
Great. Well, thank you, Abby.
You're welcome.
For more on digital asset management, log on to anotherdamblog.com. Thanks again.